Morning, everyone. How are you going?
Beautiful day. Beautiful day. Another day to be together with God. A couple of spare chairs there, but there's, you know what? There's always room for more, hey? It's good to be together again as God's people. And we're going to continue this morning in Colossians again. And you might be wondering, how long will he go on for this? And the short answer is, I've got no idea. But it's been 5 weeks since I've been preaching for 5 weeks in a row, and I think you've had enough. So Andrew's back next week. That's all I'm saying. After Andrew's on, we've got Palm Sunday and Easter, and then obviously school holidays. So we've got some different people, I guess, preaching over that period. Colossians makes you think, and it makes you rethink, and it challenges, and it certainly challenged me, and it'll continue to make us think well into term two. So we'll get back to holy and faithful people again in term two. So this will be the last sermon in Colossians for a little bit. But Paul's already had, hasn't he? He's already had plenty to say to these people who are holy and faithful in their church, and for the most part, the church is doing all right. The church is doing okay. The people stand firm. Yeah. Is it that one? Is it okay? Doesn't matter. In any case, I think it's actually my microphone, but so that's okay. The people have stood firm, faithful. I guess almost staunch in the face of. Go on. I might have to use both of them, man. Hey, let's just go with that. Okay. I think we're back to the people. The people so far, the church is doing okay. This church that he's talking to is doing all right. They're getting some of the stuff working. Some of the things are going okay. Other things are not, but they're standing firm. They're faithful in the midst of change. They're doing all right. And Paul's encouragement to them last week was, Christ lives in you. Now, that sounds like a little bit simple to hear, but what he's saying is that when you understand that Christ lives in you, then how you live is different, and how you function in your church is different. And last week we spoke about servanthood, if you weren't here. I know public holidays and stuff in Victoria, right? If you weren't here last week, we spoke about servanthood and having the attitude. Paul actually has the attitude of, I'm going to give my all to serve my church. That's the sort of attitude that we talked about last week. And Paul goes on today to say, verse 6, just as you accepted Christ as Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down deep. Let your lives be built on him. But Paul just, you know, remember back in chapter 1, Paul spoke about how what it is that sets Jesus apart. And then he goes on to... What he's saying here is, don't just settle for a faith that is shallow and doesn't work. He's not saying settle for a faith that is a faith but doesn't actually work in the circumstances of life and the challenges of life. He's saying grow into maturity, grow into all that God called you to be, and get after pursuing Jesus with all you've got. That's the sort of feel I get from this, but then he stops, and I think he points out the human tendency that all of us have got to let things in our lives subtly shift our focus from Christ. We come to Christ. He is our all in all. We just sung those words. And then all of a sudden, little subtle shifts happen and things change. And sometimes, over time, things set out to a sense, in a sense, derail what we set out to, what we started to do. Sometimes it can be difficulties of life. Sometimes it can be circumstances or illness or family or work or some of those bigger commitments that just come up in some of our lives. But a lot of times, it's really, really little subtle stuff that can derail us. And verse 8 is the one I want to focus on today. Don't let anyone catch with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense. I like Paul's use of phrase there, high-sounding nonsense. It sounds good, but it's actually nonsense. And it comes from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. Now, notice that Paul doesn't say there's something wrong here with philosophy. He doesn't say that there's something wrong with being an intellectual. And if that's you today, you know what? You're in good company with Paul. He's the guy who is the most well thought out and well studied person you can imagine. He has spent his life preaching and thinking and studying the Jewish law and tradition. He as a Roman citizen, would be well versed and studied in his Roman culture where he lives. And as you see him minister in different places, what you can tell is that he actually has this ability to understand the culture that he's in, understand what is happening there, and cut through all the stuff and get to Jesus. That's what he does over and over and over again. He gets that in life we have this tendency to get our life and faith and meaning, which only makes sense in Jesus, to get derailed. Many years ago in the police force, we had a couple. One train derailing in central Queensland. So late at night, we get this phone call. Go and find this train derailment. It was like a coal train, about 130, 140 carriages, somewhere between, I can't even remember where it was, somewhere on place, somewhere. Very, very, very late, very, very dark, and there's a coal train on its side with a couple of $1 million worth of coal all over the place. It took an army of people to clean up that mess, and it took an army of people to figure out how to make sense of it all and how it happened. And I got talking to the guy who did the rail investigations, and basically he said, look, this whole big mess happened because a little bit of train track didn't do what it was supposed to do. This whole thing happened because a little shift happened, and over time this track just didn't do what it was supposed to do. And all of a sudden, you've got this massive, big derailment. That's what we're talking about this morning. None of the things that Paul is saying here happen overnight, but maybe some of those things in our world and the cultural shifts in our world have a way of working their way in, and they work their way into a place where they start to make sense and they start to take that place where Jesus used to be. Can I just tell you, I reckon I'm going to get into some trouble today. I'll just be honest, okay? And like Paul said, they might sound good, they might sound okay, and they have the ability to undermine our faith. And probably the key phrase here is if we let them. There's many of these things I'm going to talk about today that are good, and also a tendency for them to not be so good. Okay, here's the first one: the pursuit of more. If you talk to people in our world today, many of them would admit to a pursuit of just a life after more and more possessions, more and more experiences, more and more stuff. It plants that selfish desire somewhere in our life that somehow our life is incomplete if we don't have the the greatest, biggest list or the or whatever the newest gadget is. I don't know anything about gadgets. I'm not good with gadgets, okay? But the thing that controls your lights at home or turns your air conditioning on or you while you drive. Cook? That's happened. It happens at our place sometimes, and then she doesn't shut up. It's really quite. It could be the car you drive. It could. Clothes or the computer you've got. It could be the favorite outdoor toy for your holiday. Outdoor activity. Let's scrap this thing and go back to the other one. Let's do that. I'm good. I'm free again. So it could be the big long list of all those things. None of them by themselves are wrong. Let me just go there first, okay? None of them by themselves are wrong. I found it interesting, by the way, that during COVID, when the whole thing happened, apparently a lot of businesses had some significant challenges, didn't they? But some businesses, I noticed that Samsung in the I think it was like one of the tech magazines, Samsung had a boom on for the sale of TV screens and screens over 75 inches. I cannot comprehend. I bought a new TV a couple of years ago. I cannot comprehend a TV over 75 inches in size. Okay? We live in a world where maybe people's lives can be easily dictated around the pursuit of more. Do you know what I mean? And that feeling that you get when something becomes new, and I've just got to feel that again. I've just got to have more. I've just got to. Okay. And here's the thing: all of those things by themselves are a matter of honest perspective and balance. If you bought a new TV during COVID, I'm not having a go at you. Okay. You can invite your pastor over for the AFL, especially if it's over 75 inches. Okay. If you bought a new house, what a great place and a great facility to disciple and love and care for the people around you. All of these things by themselves are good things, but over time the problem is that something in our heart changes for the pursuit of more to satisfy a longing in here that doesn't otherwise make sense. We see it all around us. And if that happens in us, then sometimes it's something we've got to work on. It's something we've got to actually think about and go, is my heart getting changed to more of this? The second one I'll get in trouble for is technology. Let's just call it the way it is. Technology is fantastic. I can get home from a long day of work, sit on my couch and order dinner. And it comes to me. I'm not sure it happens here, but in Brisbane, when you go to any restaurant, there's a constant flow of those Uber drivers with the big sort of like the bags with all the food and stuff that goes in them. It's just constant. So all of these facilities, we have this facility to basically sit at home. Do our shopping and they bring it to us. All of these, you know, social media reminds me about everyone's birthday. I don't have to worry about any of that stuff, okay? It gives me big reminders in people's lives. It helps me chart my week so I know which day I can write my sermon, which day I've got to do other things, okay? There are so many good things that it does, but there's also, with that same convenience, brings all the same things that could derail me from Jesus.
The same convenience brings me a 24-hour news cycle. It brings me access to my favourite TV show in every season and every choice that I feel like. It brings me an endless amount of distractions and news, some of which honours God and some of which would not honour God, and some other things that would quite horribly make God sick. And the need for balance is there at each moment. There's a very good verse that I had in mind that I didn't read in Proverbs 4, and it just simply says, guard your heart. And I reckon that makes a lot of sense when we're talking about this sort of stuff. So here's the question. How easy is it for us to lose a couple of hours or the second half of a day watching TV or relaxing or doing whatever it is that we do and not be able to find 10 minutes with Jesus? And, none of these things in themselves are wrong. But guarding your heart and keeping your eyes on Christ would mean maybe some common sense boundaries about how you choose to live. And maybe if it's a battleground for you, maybe it's a conversation about, I've got a couple of friends who I talk with this stuff about, and we share and we're honest and we're accountable with one another about those challenges in our lives. Now, by the way, I'll get in trouble for this. I love the fact that we have got the technology to record our services. I love the fact that we have the opportunity and different ways to stay connected amidst a period of time away. Okay? I love that in a pandemic we have all these new things that we've taught each other and we can stay connected and it's all good. But you know what? If we don't guard our heart, all that time by ourselves can also lead to life being very insular. It can also lead to life being very, very, where we love consuming church rather than being at church. It's probably a bit harsh, but maybe there's some truth in that. Okay. I've just been thinking about John 14. One of the things that Jesus said to his followers that would set them apart was essentially love one another. The defining characteristic that will set you apart from everybody else in the world, love one another just as I have loved you. By this, people will realize and notice the way that you love one another. It's the thing that sets us as Jesus followers apart. And as much as I love all the online stuff, love requires investment. It requires time and sacrifice and prayer and relationship and face-to-face. And it's really, really hard to do from behind a screen. Please hear my heart on this. If you're in a situation where health-wise you can't get out, it's okay. But there is easy a tendency, I think, on balance there, to find ourselves in a position where all of a sudden life, because of a pandemic, turns very insular. And we as God's people have got to fight that. We've got to fight that a bit. Whatever your situation is and wherever you are, can I just encourage you, if it's safe to do so, please hear that. If it's safe to do so, do whatever you can to stay connected, to get in a small group, to get to church, to stay in relationship with people in your church, whatever that looks like, whatever your scenario is, as best you can. I wonder, I was listening to a thing yesterday, and one of the doctors was saying that this whole pandemic thing, even with vaccines, may not change for, he was a bit open-ended about this. The the reality of restrictions on us is a bit of a pain, and none of us like talking about this. I wasn't even going to go there this morning. But when we have all these things that we used to do, that we were used to, and we have, and all of a sudden we can't do them anymore, I wonder if this should be the season as God's people where we go even further to invest in people than we used to. I'm just thinking. My next trouble, a sexualized culture. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this one because it requires a lot more time. But we live in a culture that, much like Paul's one, has probably decided that God's ideas about sex and morality and marriage just don't work. And a culture that seems probably simply happy to dismantle God's plans for all, you know, all those things at the altar of personal satisfaction. We live in a culture where we're saturated with that type of content in everything we look at. And I reckon that's going to be a battleground for many of our young people. It's going to be a battleground for many of us, regardless of our age or our sex. And by the way, Paul doesn't get mad at people about this. Paul does not just, you know, he doesn't start a protest and get some placards printed and off he goes. He understands this is the world in which we live, and he says, you know what? As holy and faithful people of the church, with Jesus as the primary focus of your life, things look different. He just lives with a different priority in mind. It's a very, very complex situation, and one I don't really want to have to talk about, but I'm going to have to talk about it at some stage. But I just wanted to mention it for one reason today. It's a really good example to be able to say this. Our culture today would have us believe and would promise us that you can find the meaning and the purpose and the identity and the inner satisfaction and the inner peace that you want in some long list of stuff that I'll never be able to add enough things to the list. But the list would include maybe some good things, maybe some not. The list would include possessions, technology, sex, politics, work, social issues, brand names, empty spiritual pursuits, temporary happiness, and plenty of others. Here's the thing. It will never deliver what it promises. It just won't. And the only a relationship with Jesus Christ as Saviour and as Lord will ever fill the deepest cry of your heart. I think as holy and faithful people in a church, we can expect that our culture will probably drift further from Jesus. But you know what? As we pray passionately and as we love people regardless of where they've come from, we're going to find a lot of people over the years who are searching for something far deeper than anything that they're just trying to experience in whatever they've got now. We don't need to tell people how bad they are. We don't need to jump on them and kick them while they're down. But we do need to direct them to the place where they can find hope and to the person where they can find hope. This is how Paul explains it. And this is the very end of my sermon. Verse 9 and 10. In Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. Listen to this. So you are also a complete... Did you catch that? You are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over everybody, every ruler and authority. Here's what Paul's saying. You don't ever have to go searching for meaning in your life. You don't ever have to go find purpose and satisfaction in a list of those never-ending things that our culture pursues. Because in Jesus, you've got it all. In Jesus, you are complete. You don't have to go searching for anything because Jesus is enough. I found a very flowery way for 20 minutes of saying three words for my sermon today, haven't I? Jesus is enough. Only He can be your light. Only He can be your love. Only He can be your direction, your purpose, your identity, your meaning, your peace, your eternity, your future, and your hope. Only He will complete what He has promised. Only He will deliver. There's the sermon. Christ is enough. As I wrote this week, the reason I wrote this sermon the way that it is I have two things in mind. And I'll be really honest about them with you. The first one is, I've just said it, Christ is enough. I have a distinct sense in my spirit that there are many people here today who simply don't believe it. And the second thing I want to say is that I know for some of you, there are these things in our life today that derail us from where God wants us. And I'm not going to be the pastor who piles on top of that and says there's no way back, because I want to tell you today that there is hope. I want to tell you more than anything today, wherever you are and however derailed your life might be in whatever level that is, there is always a way back. There is always a path back, and it simply starts at the foot of the cross. There's no other way. I preached on grace a few weeks ago, and I skipped this. This is my favourite quote. I have mentioned it in sermons over probably half a dozen times, and you guys are going to hear it over the next couple of years often, probably. I can't guarantee that, but I just sense that some of you are living with that heavy heart right now with all that stuff on your mind. And I want you to read this and take it in, okay?
It's up on the screen.
There is a God of awesome grace who meets His children in their deepest moments of darkness and despair. Run to Him. Don't run away from Him. Run to Him. The cross is God's guarantee that even in your darkest moment, God will never turn in disgust and walk away from you. There is no rebellion, weakness, foolishness, or sin in your heart that the cross cannot defeat and that God's grace can't transform. Wherever you are today, I want to say two things. The first thing is that Jesus is enough. But we've got to live like it's true. And in that verse, in verse 10, you are complete in your union with Jesus. Our union with Jesus is all that matters. Our union with Jesus is all that matters. So can I encourage you this week, in whatever context your life is and wherever you are, find a way to make that union with Jesus your priority. Okay? Let's pray. God, there are some parts of your word that I would be really happy to skip. And that's one of the hard ones. And so, Lord, we ask, God, for your Holy Spirit. We ask for your Holy Spirit's help and conviction when we get it wrong. God, there will inevitably be amongst us, and maybe even in me, areas, God, of our life where there's been a derailment, where things that started out good have been derailed over time. And God, I want to pray for those people today who are struggling there and struggling with maybe what even is the first step back. Where do I go from here? God, I pray for them today. I pray, God, that they would encounter a God who is full of grace, who more than anything wants to be in relationship with them. And God, I pray that you might just continue to work in their heart and in their life to bring about that restoration and peace that only you can give. God, I pray for God, I pray for that union with Christ. I pray, God, that you might just, would you remind us afresh again this week about the importance of you in our lives, and help us to find practical ways of setting that time apart with you that makes that helps everything else make sense. God, these are, I thank you that your word is powerful, that it speaks directly to our world and to our culture and to our hearts as well. And God, I pray that you might give us teachable hearts that would help us direct our attention on the things that matter. And God, would you help us guard our hearts against the things that would set our attention away from you. God, most of all, we thank you that Jesus is enough. Amen.